All please rise.
Papa John, will you lead us in a salute to our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Burst.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
All present accounted for. Good job, Council. That was great. And we're glad you're here, too, Councilperson Hanson.
We're glad.
Okay, so this next up is the public comment period. This is a period where anyone from the public can come forward and speak to the council. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, 3 minutes, state your name and address. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, and do we have any takers for this? We have one taker. That would be you. Welcome, sir.
Papa John, Malloy House, 6072 Malloy Avenue, as usual, unless they've locked the place up by the time I get there tonight. Okay, if you know, this time I have three horizontal kind of things and four vertical things, I think, if I counted right. So you got to pay close attention to all this wisdom, okay? You might miss something, because I know I have. You know you're out of shape when you get out of breath playing chess. Of course, I wouldn't know anything about being out of shape. If it's true that we're here to help others, then what exactly are the others here for? Food for thought. Okay, and this just happened recently, so it's kind of still germane. A graduation ceremony is one where the commencement speaker tells 2,000 students dressed identically wearing identical caps and gowns that individuality is the key to success. Something to think about, right? Okay, now that's the horizontal thing. This is the vertical stuff, which is food for thought or points to ponder. Greed is often regretted. Generosity is never regretted. We can't choose our parents, but we can choose our mentors. Real change is an inside job. And number four, the heart of the matter is always and will be the matter of the heart. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else?
John?
Oh.
That question for you.
We try not to encourage him.
I know, but I just want to publicly thank Papa John for walking these flyers around today through all the businesses. It's for the Fernandale Public Market. I will pass this around. Dr. Sue Quinn shooted this. So we went with it this year. Everybody knows how she doodles when she's in meetings. So I'm just thanking for doing it for us today.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Papa John.
Yeah, I should have more business at the company because they've come up with clothes when we got there. You know, I try to push the door.
Well, there's always tomorrow.
There is?
Yes.
Okay, may I push it?
Okay, so anyone else for the public comment period? Anyone like to speak to the council? Seeing none at 6:03:40. I'll close the regular council meeting and open up the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting. And the motion is before you, Council. Councilperson Bursch.
I make the motion that we approve the TPD claims.
Second.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, so at 6:04:08. I'll close the Transportation Benefit District meeting and open the regular council meeting. And before you is the regular council consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded by Councilperson Olson. Moved by Councilperson Ingram. Seconded by Councilperson Olson. Further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, we're rolling right along. Next, we have a public hearing on non-retail development guidelines. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Great tie, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Yori Burnett, Community Development Director. So we have before you a public hearing on non-retail design guidelines. This has gone through the Planning Commission, and they recommended approval. They kind of fine-tuned it, and when council was introduced to this last month, you had many of the same comments that the Planning Commission had. So I hope that we've addressed them in advance of this public hearing. What we're basically looking at is to adopt non-retail design standards into our mixed use and our gateway zones, basically the red and the orange there on the map behind you. The goal of the proposal is to reflect the reality that the city has pretty stringent retail design guidelines. So if you have a new store coming in, it needs to look nice. It can't look like your traditional box store or the ugliness that I think kind of characterized 1970s and 1980s designs, at least as we think of it. But as we have been enforcing these higher design standards on new retail development, many of those folks, Ferndale Station, Ferndale Crossings, some others, have said to us, well, gosh, you're making us look really nice, and it's great. You know, we're spending more money, and we wouldn't be coming here if we didn't think that we'd be able to make a profit or that it's not a good thing. But in your mixed-use zones, we're right next to non-retail development, offices, restaurants, sometimes even warehouse-type things, that have absolutely no design guidelines. So all of a sudden you have something that's pretty attractive next to something that is aggressively ugly. And what are we going to do? Because it kind of detracts from that whole sense of place that we think that Ferndale is looking for. So we took it to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission said, well, yeah, that's true, but what, do we want to make them look like retail where we told retail that we don't want retail to look like retail, so what kind of message are we sending? And so we said, okay, well, let's, you know, think outside the box, both figuratively and literally, and say, what is it that we're after? Are we after a theme where everything kind of does look the same as everything else, but it looks like Ferndale? Do we want to have prescriptive standards? Or, and this is the direction that the Planning Commission and staff wanted to head, do we say a vibrant city isn't based on these rigid design guidelines? Those design guidelines are intended to prevent a city from looking like a boring place to be. But if there was some way to encourage innovation and flexibility and creativity on the part of development, let's go in that direction. So what we've created is something that says, we're not going to tell you how you need to design. We're going to give you some options where you know what the pathway to success is. But ultimately, we're going to leave it in your hands as the applicant to put in some creativity to your design, where it does have to have both form and function. And we're going to, and this was council's direction, we're going to create a manual for you. It's kind of a coffee table book where you can look at a lot of pictures. Over time, most of the pictures in there hopefully are going to be from Ferndale buildings as far as what we want to do. We're going to use Bellingham as an example of what you don't want to do, as we have before. But this way, we're going to be able to really help these folks, you know, build Ferndale and show other folks, you know, follow the leader sort of thing. It's a different way of doing things. It's untested, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know exactly how this is going to work. I know that I would like to see everybody make an improvement over time, not necessarily just having 1 out of 10 do something really wildly fantastic. The downside, the risk, is we end up with what we have right now. And so it's a fairly high reward, potentially, and it's a pretty low risk. So Planning Commission has recommended approval. The approval would be the adoption of Chapter 18.59, which are those design guidelines. And then that adopts the manual by reference. We'll continue to update that manual over time. And a year from now, if it's adopted, we'll bring it back to you in the Planning Commission and say, miserable failure or success, or here's some tweaks. And then the second changes that you would be making is adopting it by reference into the mixed-use zone and the gateway zone. We didn't want to go further than that into more industrial zones or the general business zone because it is untested. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Technical questions. This is a public hearing, so voting type opinions would come later. Any technical questions for Yori? No? Okay. Seeing none. Okay, we'll open the public hearing at 6:10:13. Okay, so a public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to beginning the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Since we don't have any audience members who have signed up, anyone that would like to speak, just raise their hand and we'll get you up here to speak. Each speaker should state his or her name, address the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on this issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So would anyone like to come forward and speak on this issue? Ah, wait, go. Thank you. Welcome, welcome.
Wendy Lauren, 6225 Argyle. Sorry, Yori, you thought you were going to escape. But I'm on my HOA's Architectural Review Committee, and we've had a devil of a time because of the way our guidelines are written, actually keeping developers from doing certain things that aren't in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. So, what are you going to do with these guidelines? Are they? Do you have the meat in what you presented to actually disapprove a building design if it is in the consensus of everyone, not in keeping with what you want Ferndale to have?
Is that your only question, or you want to step up for more?
That's it.
That's it? Okay. Okay, Yuri, you're on.
The answer is yes, we do, where the goal is not to deny, never to deny, but rather to get them to go back to the drawing table. And hopefully this will enable us to start a conversation with them. And we do have these conversations with these folks, you know, quite often with the development community, where there is a lot of back and forth. A lot of it has been initiated by staff without the code to go back on. So we expect those to continue. Now, if an applicant comes and he says, here's my box, I'm not doing anything with it, what are you going to do? What we have the ability then to do is to say our final decision is to deny it or to put it on hold until you do anything with it. This is our final decision, and we're not going to touch it until you do something. If you want to appeal that final decision, you have 10 days to appeal it, and then the hearing examiner, an impartial third party, gets to look at it, and will then get to look at the criteria that we've established to determine whether or not they do, in fact, comply with it. Now, these are all subjective, you know, obviously, where if a developer were to say, well, you notice on this box that I've built, I'm using a cream color paint that is a good contrast to the skin color paint that I've also put on there. So you can see that I've done a lot to change things. The hearing examiner might then tell the city, potentially, I know that what they're saying is ridiculous, but you don't have the teeth to deny them, so I'm going to find in favor of them. That's probably the worst case, honestly. What we hope is it will never get to that, and if it does get to that, that we will be able to say, clearly they have not made an effort here. And hearing examiner, all that we are asking is that they do make an effort. It doesn't need to look like the Taj Mahal, but it does need to. They need to show us through a narrative, which is required, what exactly they're doing. Now, again, obviously, if they just do a box, I would be really interested in how they describe it, that box in a narrative. We will see.
Any retort from our guests? Any questions from council on this? Oh, you're getting off easy on this one.
Sorry, I'm a little bit confused. Thanks for talking about mixed use. So it's not pure residential, correct?
Correct. This would be the non-retail, so a bank, for instance, or a restaurant, offices.
Sure. And certain zones, those buildings would not be allowed. It'd be residential only.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And residential standards.
We don't have residential design guidelines.
Okay.
We have contemplated it, but we do not.
So your staff recommendation is the council approves AB 1507002 as written?
That is correct.
You going to close the public hearing?
Thank you. And no other questions or anything. Okay. I'll close the public hearing at 6:15:15. Staff recommends approval. Councilperson Ingram, I think his hand is up first, but I'm not positive.
Yori, could we roll this through the Eagle Board? Wouldn't this be a great exercise for the Eagle Board to look at some of this stuff and not necessarily reinvent the entire wheel, just the tread?
Honestly, I think that at this point, staff already does a lot of this. It might be adding more to the Eagle Board than what they need, but I could see if we do see some bumps in the road, that might be something that would be useful.
Because I think, to my mind, Eagle is a perfect solution for this anyway, because if you're going to come in and put in a non-retail development, doctor's offices, whatever they might be, if we just hand them the Eagle package as they build it, here's your guidelines, here's your laundry list, pick one from column A and six from column B, and you're home free.
Right. The one thing that the Eagle doesn't really address is the design and the look of it, more the performance of it. And that would be a couple of hesitations just with the Eagle Board, where they have said before, we don't want to get into the way something looks. We want to get into the way that it acts. Mm-hmm. And then also, again, to take or not take a page from Bellingham, the late Michael Cole loved to tell me stories about his experience in Bellingham and Fairhaven District, where he said, here I had something that was innovative and beautiful when I put it into the design review board, and then the design review board, everybody wants to be able to talk. And so they're not going to be silent and say, we love that look. They're going to say, here's how I want to tweak it. And the next guy's going to say, well, I'm going to one-up him. And he said, what came out of it was nothing like how he designed it. Just by the very nature of a board, they want to talk. So not to say that staff is any better, but I would think that staff, because we have a volume in front of us, we don't want to spend more time on an application than we need to.
Okay. I saw Customers Goodrich and then Customers Mushler.
Motion to pass Agenda Bill 15-07-002.
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilperson Birch. I think she sped it up. Further discussion, Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, I haven't been keeping up on my Eagle code here. That's generally for larger projects, isn't it? The Eagle standards anyway. Mm-hmm. This would capture
Eagle. Eagle is for retail projects 20,000 square feet or larger, or public projects, public buildings, I should say, as it stands right now.
I think it's a good idea. I'm always hesitant to tell people how to build things, but like an HOA, you join a neighborhood, you know, we have a certain expectation, and it protects everybody, includes the new person, but their property is worth more because they met some standards. So I think this is a great idea. I like the flexibility that's with staff, that we're not going to review every project with the planning commission, but it goes to staff.
If I can make one point to that, because this was an important...
Only one.
Okay, one point. One of the things that the planning commission wanted to be clear about was that this was not to be used as a weapon, and so we put that into the manual saying we're looking for flexibility here and creativity. So that is clearly in the adopting.
Any other questions or comments? You have a motion and a second. Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, next up, the lease agreement for the Chamber of Commerce and Pioneer Pavilion. I've been working on this issue for a while. Who's going to present this?
Actually, I was thinking of Riley.
The esteemed Riley Sweeney. Yes.
I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. Riley Sweeney, Communications Officer. By now, you guys have all seen the lease agreement, but for our esteemed audience, it's for the Chamber of Commerce. They would be renting office space in the Pioneer Pavilion, the lease for 10 years with the option to change the rent to match inflation after 5. Currently, it's for $765 a month. We would pay utilities. They'd be responsible for the internal space. We'd be responsible for the building, the internal space that they're renting. Any questions?
Councilor Seversh?
We did discuss that in committee last week, and the discussion was the five-year lease versus the 10-year lease.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it, and considering how much money they have put into it, between $15,000 and $20,000, I just don't think it's right to cut them off at 5 years. I would like to see it remain at the 10-year lease.
Let's see now. So that would take a, because the lease, that would take a motion, a second.
No, it's that.
It
is written for 10
years. Written
it is? It's written for 10 years.
Okay, all right.
We just have a check in at 5.
I see, okay. Councilperson Olson?
How did we arrive at that figure for rent?
$765. That was a discussion. I pulled it from the minutes from, I want to say, February when we were talking about it. And that was the number.
What they're paying now.
Yeah, that was the number that was bantered around.
And this is a much bigger space.
True. And a better location, by far.
Yes.
With better parking.
And we're also eating the utilities. So this is a much, 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 much better deal than what they had before. And I voice my displeasure with the amount of money they get from the hotel motel, and I'm going to again voice my displeasure with the sweetheart deal that somebody's trying to give them for this. I think we put way too much money into the chamber, which is supposed to be supported by businesses, in my opinion. And again, we're putting, we don't even give anybody else this kind of a break on stuff. I think it should be much more than that. And that's why I don't know where this, why we just had a figure of what they used to pay. That, what kind of research is that? That sucks. So I'm not going to support this, and I encourage everyone else to think about giving away, basically gifting of public funds by having such a cheap rent and utilities.
Councilperson Birch?
Well, they're also taken under the showing of the pavilion for events and talking to people and giving them the answers to rent the facility.
Yes, and that is part of
that's very helpful to the city.
Councilperson Watson and then Councilperson Ingram.
My only concern with the 10 years was if the community center takes off, and we really have a lot of people who want to use it, and we find that we might need those spaces. We've kind of locked ourselves in or saying that for the next 10 years, those two front spaces will belong to the chamber. And my concern is if we do a good job of marketing this, we might find ourselves needing those spaces. I'm a little hesitant to do the 10-year. 5 years would make me more comfortable.
Councilor Singer?
Is that a motion?
No, I want to.
Well, really, in all fairness, I know that Councilman Olson feels that the chambers should be supported by businesses in the city. And to a degree, I agree with that. However, that being said, if you look at what Linden does for their chamber, it's insane. It makes us look like the cheapest bunch of people on planet Earth. Last figures I heard was like 4 years ago, and Linden was at that time contributing, I think it was $45,000, $42,000, something a year to the chamber, and they give them the space. So, I mean, I don't really have a problem with the rent. I don't have a problem with the length of the lease. I think it's appropriate given the improvements that they've done. I mean, tenant improvements are something that, yeah, that's sometimes hard to get tenants to actually do them. And I think they've been very, very thorough. I don't have a problem.
Councilperson Hansen and then Councilperson Goodrich.
I think if you look at the majority of commercial leases, even in our community, you'll find that while they may start with a five-year lease, they have an option for at least another five because it's not cost-effective to do tenant improvements, as we have a situation here where the tenant is improving the facility. it's not cost effective to do the tenant improvements and then not have the option of being able to keep those tenant improvements for at least 10 years. So sometimes they're written with an option. I don't recall. I don't have it in front of me. Is that what this is?
This one is a 10-year lease. We don't have an option at 5 years to discontinue it. I would like to point out Landmark Real Estate is the largest property management company in Whatcom County, and almost all their commercial leases are 5 to 10 years. So,
yeah, right, in terms of which is exactly my point. And with that, I'm going to move the passage of the lease agreement with the Chamber of Commerce.
Sorry.
Councilor Goodrich?
Yeah, I was going to say that I understand what Councilmember Olson is saying about the rate, but that's, to me, that's not a discussion to have tonight. That should have been a discussion back when we were talking, well, I think you said February, just because it's not fair to tell the chamber now that they've invested all the thing. I think they even moved in. They said, oh, by the way, we're not going to give you the rent that. We're going to give it to you at $1,000 a month or whatever it is. If it should have been higher, it should have been higher back in February when we were discussing this. To me, now is not the time to do that. And then also on the idea, they've put a lot of sweat equity into that place, painting it and doing their tenant improvements and costs and things associated with that. Just because I've seen how many times they keep coming into ACE to get things for that.
Which is a member of the chamber.
I have no problem with the 10 years. I think that's going to be a benefit to the city to have them there in more ways than one. So I wholeheartedly support this on both fronts.
So let's go backwards in history of where we got to where we are. That's fine. And the original concept is that if you travel around, and here, what's the basis of what we're trying to do here? What is the basis of our hotel motel tax? Our basis is to get more people coming to Ferndale, where they'll find out what's going on in Ferndale, where they'll maybe spend some money and enjoy Ferndale. And I'm amazed that we got as many visitors and great volunteers. Thank you to volunteers like Councilperson Ingram across the street. But not the greatest image in the world, folks, not the greatest parking. And that's why we looked at this place. Go, let's bring our tourists, let's bring all our people to our number one tourist attraction. And I've been trying for years to have somebody at Pioneer Park more than, and thank you for what the Heritage does, and we help pay for that, but it's really limited. In the wintertime, hey, go to Pioneer Park. Why? Well, there's nobody down there. All the gates are locked, and there's nobody hanging around there. But, hey, go ahead, look inside the fence and go, great, I think I'll come back here in the summertime. This is what you want. This is a good thing. It's not just a chamber. It's a visitor center. People would love to have this chance to have a visitor center in their main park where people can park. I think you're missing the whole point. That's why we went this direction. So, Councilor Singer.
On the other hand, no, I've only had one person make a comment to me, and that comment was, so let me get this straight. You want me to come into downtown Ferndale and make a left turn off of Main Street in my 52-foot Winnebago with a Saturn towing behind me? And I said, no, I want you to go down to 3rd Street and make a right and do the UPS model and go straight across the Main Street. You don't turn that thing left off of Main Street.
That's a good point. All right. We have the Councilor Smutzler.
It's my understanding that the chamber will be stewards of the rentals of the providing information and actually doing the rental agreements that people use it.
They will do the tours, show the space. They will not take money. They will say, here's the information, go to City Hall.
And does it provide additional access to Pioneer Park because of there? It has nothing to do with the availability of the park as they happen to be.
At least one building will be open and we'll know the restrooms are open.
I think there's a lot of intangibles that the city had to do it, had to pay city wages. This is cheap. This is a good idea. So thank you for negotiating.
Councilperson Ingram and Councilperson Hansen.
One question.
Yeah.
Can I have a ribbon cutting?
Yes.
When? Thank you.
Councilperson Hansen?
Just one further comment.
9 to 5, 5 days a week, and provide some security in the restrooms.
That is that I asked.
Exactly. Okay, we have the chamber director here. I don't know if she would like to speak or not.
She wants to speak.
Would you like to come forward and speak?
Did you ever hear her not want to speak?
And fine chamber director and address is across street 5683. I didn't know if I need to speak or not because when I heard it was five was a consideration, I was a little panicky because we've spent a lot of money. And we've been discussing a new home for this organization for a really long time. And it's important to us that the city understands that the chamber isn't two people across the street. It's 250 of your businesses. It's every tourist that comes to town and finds us. It's what we do for this town that makes it what it is. Your flower baskets, your holiday lights, your celebrations, the things that we support, that we do, makes us who we are, not just Kelsey and I across the street in a little office. And our ability to work with you guys and have that location and help you and open or close or do whatever we need to do and show it and continue the relationship that we've been building for years and years now to where it is where it is worth every bit of whatever we can do to continue it and keep us there because it's going to do nothing but good for all of us. And I'm very thankful that almost all of you are seeing this. The same thing we are, and that 10 years is not. It'll be gone. It'll be over before you know it.
So. Any questions for our guests? No? Thank you. Okay, so you have before you a motion to approve. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose?
Aye.
Thank you. When Guy and I talked about this a long time ago, I didn't think it was ever going to happen. I really didn't. I really thought the library was going to be in there for like 15 years and we'd forget the dream. Guys, this is the end of maybe you don't realize it's a big deal to me. We got the police station, we got the library, we got the community center, we got a visitor center that we can be proud of. Mm-hmm. That people can look and say, wow, this is what Ferndale's all about.
Gee,
this is the start. This, I hope somebody goes back and says, way to go, those seven people that voted to move this direction. You all should be proud.
Six.
Well, you voted yes on some of the other ones.
Oh.
And some of the people who voted no aren't here. So, but the people here, this is the end of a pretty cool thing. To think about all the things we did in a terrible down economy, and you did it, and this is the final step.
The interesting thing. The very first time I walked into that visitor center and met Guy Ochagrosa, guess what he talked about? Got to get out of this place, man. We got to find a new place.
You were in here when it was back in the days of a little panaboed building, you know. It's like, okay, three people can fit in here. Councilperson, was it Metzler or Councilperson Bursch? Councilperson Bursch.
They're having visitors on Saturdays and Sundays. They've been keeping the office open on the weekends, which is really impressive. Find those volunteers.
Somebody should do a picture of the succession of, okay, the little Panama building. Long story. Way to go, Council. Thank you.
I saw
the wagon wheels and the milk cans.
Yeah, good job. Way to go. Okay, so mayor comments. So this Friday night is our first Flicks in the Park. For the tour director, tomorrow at 8:30 we'll start spraying for mosquitoes, which there are a few. He's 8:30 in the morning. He's typically done by about 9:15, 9:30. Don't water and don't let too many people wander and don't let any children go and jump on the grass and eat the grass.
Okay. No grass eating.
That's recorded, so you can't do that. But anyway, Flicks in the Park, love to see you all there. The film is Hook. So anyone coming in a pirate costume, and you especially get in free if you don't sneak in any rum. Why would I believe that Riley would have a pirate costume?
All right.
You thought I was kidding. He does have a, okay, now we know. Riley has a pirate costume coming Friday night. Okay, that's it for mayor reports. Council reports. Councilperson Goodrich.
I will not be present at the next two committee meetings. I'll be at the council, be back at the council meeting, but I'll be gone. Where are we? July. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
And then the one on the 29th.
Okay.
Or, yeah, those two, I'll be gone.
So anyone volunteering to cover for him?
I need somebody to get up early in the morning.
So it can't be Kathy because she's already on there?
That's not early.
Anyone else want to cover for him?
I can
cover for him. We'll get it covered.
Okay.
John will cover all.
You guys have done a great job about that. Just a great job.
I'll be helping our daughters transition to a new duty station in Sitka, Alaska.
Way to go, Dad.
Alaska.
Ooh, wait a minute. Sitka, Alaska. Well, at least in the summertime.
Yeah.
That's better. I had Councilperson Bursch and then Councilperson Ingram.
I, too, will be in the next two committee meetings. But Kathy has agreed to take my place on the finance committee. I will be back for the council meeting on the 20th, but I will be out of town on the meeting on August the 3rd.
Okay, so sounds like Riley or Susan's going to get an email from all of you to figure all this out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Remember that. They don't go after her. Councilperson Ingram.
A couple of quick things. As the incoming commander of our American Legion post in Ferndale, I made the executive decision this last weekend. I put the POW flags up on the corners and also the five POW flags up at the service poles at the Veterans Memorial on 2nd Avenue. I liked the looks of them over there so much, I'm leaving them up for the summer. So if anybody drives by and sees one missing, let me know, because if one goes missing, I'm pulling them all. I've already lost three of them on Main Street, poles and all. Big American Legion sticker on the poles, gone. So anyway, that's one. The other one is I've got to embarrass somebody tonight because you know you've got a pretty good supportive partner in life when she's willing to come down here and listen to us blather on about nonsensical garbage mostly on what is tonight our 46th wedding anniversary.
Oh, way to go. Clapping. Obviously, the system enjoys it too. Councilperson Metzler.
I'd like to sincerely thank those that painted this room. I know that you had something to do with it or someone painted. I mean, I noticed a different tone tonight. A civility that we don't usually, and I'm sure the paint had something to do with it. It really is nice. And the pictures.
The green color is afternoon nap.
Is that really the name?
I feel we can stay in here for decades.
I think that's the color of my house. So what does that say?
No.
Do you want to announce all the names that helped?
Yeah. Do you want me to wait? Are they done?
No. Go. We're going to move to you now. We'll go back to them.
All right. So the pictures that we've gotten, we put a call out for donations from the community. A lot of these are from the Walking Museum. But some of them are from private collections. So Sam Bulo started us off with a $500 donation. Craig Cole also contributed $500. Joanne Moore on the Planning Commission, $50. Susan Cole, $100. The McKays contributed several pictures to us. The city crew helped pick stuff down, helped put stuff up. And the city staff did as well. We're still looking for more pictures.
You might ask my wife for one.
We might ask your wife for one. Yeah, we're hoping to be able to cycle through. Hopefully we're going to have a couple dozen where we have some at City Hall, too, to cycle them throughout the year.
Great. Okay, any further Councilperson Metzler?
Yeah, just to mention it's the Ragnar weekend, not this coming weekend, but the next weekend. And what's kind of unique about Ferndale is the only city that has two transitions, one at Cascadia School and one at the high school. And the Ragnar Relay, and I'm one of the Ferndale teams, starts at the Peace Arch Park and ends up at the south end of Whidbey Island, 200 miles over 2 days. So there'll be thousands of runners in Ferndale Friday and Saturday next week, so just be careful and welcome them.
Okay. Any other Councilperson Watson?
Along those same lines, the Ferndale Auxiliary Communications Service will be volunteering at the high school and at Cascadia, providing amateur radio support.
Ah, the van will be there?
Yes, we have the van at the high school, and then we'll be standing around a little orange vest in Cascadia. And the van will be in the Old Shepherd's Bridge, along with the other vehicles.
I'm thinking then there's a request to take it to the Linden Fair this year.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I passed it on to Chief Knapp. The Linden Fair was asking, they were asking for.
They want
the emblem, right? I know. I said, well, okay, let's change the terminal. I said, can you send your tank and your communication van? And, well, let's go backwards here. It's really not a tank.
It's a blood response.
It's not a tank.
Yeah.
Regardless of listening to Riley, it's not a tank. Go ahead. Yeah.
It
comes with the chair.
We might be able to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It was kind of neat to be requested for something. Okay, any other council reports? Good job, that was well done. Okay, department reports. Finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator / public works director.
A couple things. One, we already pretty much covered. That is the pavilion. The final walkthrough today, everything's done. It looks beautiful. It really does. The floor turned out pretty nice. They've been resanded, and with help from the chamber and Anderson Paper, we got a heck of a deal on the refinishing of the floor, and the chamber's been great to work with, and the contractor was excellent to work with, so it really turned out to be, I think, a very, very good project, so very, very happy about that. The other thing I want to kind of give you a brief update on, and that is the current discussions going on with the county jail proposal. Today, we had a meeting, all of the small cities, including Bellingham and the county. We met up in Linden, the mayors and the administrators, to kind of go through what right now seems to be probable or possible next steps. What will happen in the future is anyone's guess. But right now, there are, for the most part, well, there really are three options, but really two major options. One is if Bellingham agrees to come on board with the rest of the cities, then we would build the 521 beds. The cities would pledge a large percentage of the theoretically future-approved property sales tax increase to service the debt on the jail, and then they would build it, and we would pay our daily rate, and everything would hopefully go on as planned. That was kind of the original agreement as drafted. The second option right now that the county's come forward with is if Bellingham decided to not participate in the collective building of the new jail. And what they really did was, in this second option, the number of beds have been reduced to take out the beds that Bellingham needed, and the costs have been reduced to an equal amount, and that is the amount Bellingham would have paid if they were part of the agreement. So for the most part, the agreement said that instead of 521 beds, they'd build 383 beds. Instead of costing $97 million, it will cost $83 million. The effect on us is no change, and that is we would still be pledging the same percentage of the voter-approved sales tax towards the jail as we would under the first option when we're all in the boat together, so to speak. So right now, those are the two options that the county is considering: go it together or go it without Bellingham. There's a third option that Bellingham is kind of tossing out there that, from what I've heard, does not have a lot of traction on the county side. So whether it's a viable third option or not, I don't know. And that third option has to do with taking some of the monies collectively that would go towards building and operating the jail and instead using it for funding of diversion programs that would hopefully suppress the number of people going to jail and therefore the costs associated with it. But I think it's fair to say that the third option is something that Bellingham has thrown out there, but I did not see, and I really don't know county council temperature on this, but I did not see from an administrative standpoint much county interest in that third option. So most likely it'll be option A with everyone, option B without Bellingham, and whatever option we do or any hybrid, naturally this is all dependent on the voters come fall approving the sales tax. Because without that, of course, then we go back to, I guess, plan D, which would be Bellingham, the county somehow trying to figure out how to probably reduce the jail population in the existing jail and cobbling together some retrofits that would improve the conditions.
Councilperson Hansen and Councilperson Metzler.
Am I correct in the statement that if Bellingham does not come on board, the option B, all of the Bellingham people still get to vote on this town?
Yes, it's a countywide vote.
And Bellingham gets to keep their two towns.
Exactly, exactly. Now, they would need to find a way to house their misdemeanors. And that is, correct, for those who don't know it, the county by law has to hold in jail our and their felons.
But if they don't contribute, they would pay the $150 a day.
They would pay a higher rate.
Yes.
For their so the county would have to house their felons, and if they took in their misdemeanors, that they would pay a higher per day rate than the other participating cities.
We're not taking their, if they don't take the misdemeanors, but they take the felons because they have to. Right. Won't they be charged as the Lummi and Nooksack and State Patrol are?
My understanding is that if it's a felon, the county has to take them, and the daily bed rate will be the derived annual rate given the operating costs and the number of bed days used. So my understanding is that the higher rate would go towards any non-participants' misdemeanors, but not their felons.
Was that the same with the Lummies? And
same with the,
that's
exactly.
That's not what I thought I heard off the microphone.
Yeah.
We discussed it with the council.
I might be wrong. I mean, okay. That question, that specific nuance did not come up today. So I guess we could find out about that. I know they have to take them. And could they charge a higher rate? Actually, thinking about it, top of my head, they probably could.
I thought Jack floated on that.
Yeah.
When he was talking with Mayor Linville, saying, you know, we could raise the rate of your misdemeanors.
Yes. Yeah.
But not all of them.
Also, yeah, we'll find out. I have a feeling I misspoke. I really do think that there could be the higher rate because, again, there's the fixed operating cost that the contributing cities and county would be covering through their diversion of sales tax that the others would not. Yeah. So the issue becomes whether Bellingham believes that they can take their existing jail costs and the new 40% of the 2/10 of sales tax, that new revenue stream, and find somewhere to house their misdemeanors at a rate at or below what it would cost to house them at the county.
They just get their capital. Depending on how many people they get their 40%, not just the whole 40%, based on population, right? County gets 60, cities get 40, but it's some portion of 40.
But it's based on population.
So they get their 40.
Yeah.
Councilperson Mutzler?
Yeah, I'm tracking similarly to Councilmember Hansen. I think we used the word 40. So county passes the sales tax. Plan B is in operation. The city of Bellingham does not keep 2%. They keep their
40%
that we're all giving up. So that's how they took up with $80 million. I couldn't see how they possibly.
Right, the 40% would come to each city. Now, under the agreement in the first, I believe it's 3 years, might be four, but I think it's the first 3 years, the cities, the contributing cities, will kind of funnel back to the county almost all. That is, after the.
I understand that. The unfortunate part for us is that currently, at least, most of our retail shopping, as we all tend to mention it,
right,
is in Bellingham, so yeah, it's unfortunate.
But I think starting in the fourth year or so, when the debt service payments begin, there will be, assuming that sales tax continues at its rate or even grows, there will be some of that 40% that we, because our annual contribution is fixed, so we'll be sending it to the county, but we'll be able to retain some of that, which we could use for criminal justice purposes, either paying per diem rates or some other criminal justice costs.
Point of information before we wrap this all up. If the county council is going to put it on the ballot, they're going to need it to do it in their next two meetings. So time is running out.
August 15th is their deadline for voting to put the ballot measure up to the voters. So yeah, there's not much time for Bellingham to make a decision.
City of Bellingham talk about option B as to what they would do? Would they take ownership of the old jail? What are they?
No, we
what kind
didn't.
Of options do you have
we didn't go into that subject. I, you know, obviously, There are some options there, but I don't think that's up to them to pencil it out on their 40%.
Yeah, because for the cities, our costs are the same. Build the big jail, build the small jail, our costs are the same. It's just a question of whether we have the contributions from Bellingham.
The only thing that, you know, I did the math is at 383, with our population growth, we're maxing out the 383 in 11 years.
Yeah.
So we're right where we are now. It's like, okay, good. We built a jail. In 11 years, it's, you know, based on the growth now. Now, I mean, that's the question we had is, let's be honest with them of what we discussed is Bellingham's, you know, thing was we'd like to do diversion programs to lower that rate. We said, okay, but what proof do you have or what, you know, how are we going to know that's going to work? We're building, that would be great. I mean, that's what all of the cities said. You know what, if you go your own and your diversion programs work, good for you, and maybe 383 beds is a great thing that works, you know, and that we would all participate in, but there's really no statistical data that shows that would work.
Even if we go with Plan B, the smaller jail, that even that design allows for expansion up to the 521, in fact, even past that, insofar as they're not going to be reducing the size of the water lines or the sewer lines. They are going to be cutting back on kitchen facilities and intake because just lopping off the beds did not reduce the cost enough. So in the future, if they do want to go past 383, they will have to not only add the extra cells, but they'll have to expand the kitchen, expand the intake, and perhaps expand the medical side. So there is some opportunity costs that the county is facing, but at the bottom line is the county is taking a risk by financing this, and the more that they can tell the bondholders that the cities are on board to contribute to it, the more the bondholders feel comfortable and less risk the county assumes.
And if we do end up going with option B, this body will have an opportunity to weigh in.
Right, yeah. We will bring a very similar but somewhat different agreement back to you that instead of 521 talks about 383. But otherwise, our financial contributions don't change from Plan A to Plan B.
When does Bellingham have to make their decision?
It was on their agenda this afternoon.
I thought it was on their agenda today.
Right, it is.
The deadline is August 4th to put something on the ballot.
But I thought Bellingham had to make a decision.
So to get something on, the county council has to pass it while they're in session. Mm-hmm.
And then they'd have to pass something with us.
Yes.
Right. So every city has to sign a new agreement.
Now, our intention is that at our very next meeting, we will, if Plan B is the plan, we'll be bringing back the revised agreement. If Plan A, we've already signed on for that.
Okay, Community Development Director?
Yeah, so we presented last week to the Heritage Society on a comprehensive plan items. We have a number of other things coming up tomorrow for lunch. We're presenting to the Kiwanis Club over at the bowling alley. Yep. Next, on the 16th, we're presenting to the North County Rotary, Schedule 2. That's going to be at the Ferndale Library at 4 o'clock. On the 22nd, presenting to the City Club. That's on the 22nd at Northwood Hall. Then on the 23rd in the evening, we are presenting our urban growth area proposal to the Whatcom County Planning Commission to introduce to them. That's in the evening.
What was it last evening?
That is the 23rd, which is a Thursday. July 23rd. County doesn't care about us.
The world ends at Bakerview. Clerk's office.
Nothing.
Communication Director.
For those of you who missed the big headlines, the state finally passed their budget. We got matching funds for the Star Park.
Yay!
Did you find out who put it in?
I'm still waiting for a call back. None of our legislators have passed that yet.
But Barton Overcrossing was in the transportation package for a while, but I didn't see it.
It is not.
It's gone.
But there's 20. How much?
$21 million
for Slater?
Yes, that was my next point.
So, So moving a little bit on the Slater situation, last week Greg and I had a very pleasurable meeting in downtown Seattle. Greg drove 2.5 hours to Seattle. I walked 1 hour each way to the meeting. And we met in an architectural office right near the Smith Tower in downtown Seattle. And basically Greg and I talked to each other because the meeting had been canceled at 10 to 5 the evening before without emailing Greg or myself.
Really?
So
a little passive aggression.
Wow.
It's probably good that I walked 1 hour back because it probably calmed me down a little bit. Anyway, so.
Who called the meeting?
It's a long story.
You don't really want to go there, Gene.
Obviously, we're not important enough to inform you're canceling a meeting. Okay, so.
I told them you weren't going to come anyway, so. Why did they need
to? No, we agreed to come.
We had
confirmed our attendance.
Yeah, the day before.
We had confirmed our attendance the day before.
On Wednesday, you confirmed it, and on Wednesday later that afternoon, they canceled it.
10 to 5.
I wouldn't forget that, gentlemen. I think you need to.
We've said the next meeting's up here. And,
So then they tried to reschedule again today, and it's like, what is the deal with us dropping? I don't know what they have against me.
It's a very long list.
It's like, I'm supposed to speak at it. Would you like to include my name on this? Oh, we keep forgetting you. Who's the comedian that used to get no respect? Henny Youngman. Okay. The chief isn't here tonight. I think he's still eating his maple bar or something. Okay, pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G, we will now enter an executive session to review a collective bargaining agreement with the Ferndale Police Guild. The session is expected to last 15 minutes, after which time council reconvene in open session and action on a potential agreement may be taken.